KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear sky. It's 45 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 68. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In area news this week, April the 8th through the 14th, is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon told the Board of Supervisors during their meeting Wednesday morning, the week is set aside to recognize the role 911 dispatchers and communication center operators have in public safety.
We want to show our appreciation for our dispatchers. Had Sherry make us a cake today and brought it over. We're trying to do a few little things with the dispatchers. We also have dispatchers down at the police station down here too as well that we'd like to recognize.
Cannon said there is over 70 years of experience at the Cass County Communications Center, spread among seven dispatchers.
Our least experienced member has 3 years, and we go all the way up to 21 years. And I'm older than anybody over there. You know, we've got a kind of an equal male to female ratio over there. Just a really good, diverse group. We got some 20-year-olds, we got some 50-year-olds, we just run the gamut. So a lot of different experience. We got, you know, someone that had 10 plus years of state radio experience. We've got another gentleman who came to us from another comm center, so it's a really good group.
Cannon said all that experience will come in handy with the way technology is evolving.
In the last year, we had text to 911. It was a new program that came. The state is not going to stop with those type of things that are coming down the pike. At some point, we will be accepting pictures. You know, someone will be able to take a picture with their phone and send that to 911. And then soon after that, they will be taking videos and then sending that to 911. We do not have those capabilities yet, but there's going to come a time. Before too long.
He said in the future, dispatchers will be tasked to do more, not less, where their job is concerned. In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday approved the appointment of Chuck Burnett of Atlantic to the Cass County Zoning Board of Adjustment to replace a member of the board who passed away earlier this year. And the board tabled the appointment of a Cass County Weed Commissioner until their next meeting. They also approved a request from the City of Atlantic to abate all tax penalties and interest on a total of 10 city-owned parcels, and they passed a resolution entering into an agreement to abate the tax and assign a tax sales certificate on a county-held tax sales certificate for a parcel in Cumberland and in Griswold. Red Oak Police report 42-year-old Marshal Larry Adams of Stanton was arrested at around 10:30 p.m. Wednesday. He was taken into custody for vandalism of a trash can. His bond was set at $300. And the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says 20-year-old Benjamin Perrot Moreno of Lenox was arrested with the assistance of Adams County Sheriff's deputies just after 12 a.m. today on a valid Montgomery County warrant for failure to appear in court on an original OWI charge. Perro Moreno was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $3,000 cash-only bond. Investigators in Pottawatomie County Wednesday filed criminal charges on a man who is alleged to have entered a home on Coldwater Avenue in Honey Creek, or near Honey Creek, early Monday morning. A resident saw an unknown male with long hair and dressed in a black hoodie inside their home. While police were investigating that scene, another report came in about a similar situation in a different jurisdiction. The same subject was believed to have been involved in both incidents. One man was arrested. He was later identified as 49-year-old John A. Bohanich of Council Bluffs. Bohanich was charged with burglary in a second degree and 2 counts of burglary in a third degree. He was arrested later Monday in Fremont County on charges connected to the theft of a semi from Omaha. That vehicle was later recovered in Thurman. Evidence located by both Pottawatomie and Fremont County investigators, along with assistance from the public, led to the charges being filed. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is asking you to be on the lookout for numerous signs that were stolen from a storage unit in Corning. The items were taken from Carmichael Storage on Corning Carl Road. Among the items missing was a 6-foot-long Firestone sign, a 5-foot-long Firestone Farm Tire Service sign, a 6-foot-long Fillmore Oil sign, one Westinghouse sign, a curved Chapman sign, a Nickel Cola 5-cent sign, a Hatchery Osage, Kansas sign, a flanged Sherwin-Williams paint sign, diamond-edged tool signs, a Goodyear tire stand sign, and 2 school stop signs. Now, you can see pictures of some of those items under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. If you notice any of those items being sold or in someone's possession, you're asked to notify the Adams County Sheriff's Office. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says there were two arrests on Wednesday. The first arrest was at 5:49 a.m. as deputies stopped a vehicle driven by 23-year-old Anthony Michael McCoy of Atlantic. He was charged with speeding and driving while license suspended and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where his bond was set at a little more than $556. Wednesday afternoon, Montgomery County deputies arrested 34-year-old Sean Michael Jones of Clearwater, Florida, on a Carroll County warrant for theft in the second degree. Jones was being held on a $5,000 cash bond. In other news, officials have marked the end of an Omaha National Cemetery construction project. The open house held Wednesday included a flag-raising ceremony. The event celebrated the start of operations out of the permanent facilities. The cemetery opened for burials and other services in September of 2016. The first phase of construction was providing burial options for about 10 years. Officials have said the entire 236-acre cemetery will serve the needs of more than 112,000 veterans and their families in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa for the next 100 years. The closest national cemetery is about 180 miles away in Leavenworth, Kansas. There is a Nebraska Veterans Cemetery near Alliance in the Nebraska Panhandle. Republicans in control of the Iowa House have announced their proposal to cut state taxes, but it's unclear if it has the support in the GOP majority Senate. House leaders released a plan Wednesday that they say would cut state tax revenue by $1.3 billion over 5 years. It would keep a contested deduction on federal income taxes known as the federal deductibility. House Speaker Linda Upmeyer, a Republican from Clear Lake, says the House plan tweaks a tax bill proposed by Governor Kim Reynolds, who suggests cutting $1.7 billion in tax revenue over 6 years. Senate Republicans passed a bill earlier this session that would eventually cut $1 billion in taxes annually. Upmeyer says their plan is a wonderful first start, an indication she anticipates changes. Tax writing committees in both chambers are scheduled today to review possibly competing versions of that bill. And there is another chance, going to be another chance for those who want to get into Iowa's new medical marijuana business. Iowa Department of Public Health Deputy Director Sarah Reister says the law allows two licenses to manufacture. There were nine companies that showed interest the first time around, but only a few followed through.
So we did follow up with some of them after the fact to try to figure out, you know, why they decided not to apply. And during the course of those conversations and based on contacts that we've received consistently since that happened, we are pretty confident that there is still interest in another manufacturing license in Iowa, and so we decided to proceed.
The sole license to produce medical marijuana products was awarded to MedFarm Iowa in November. Reister said that things happened pretty quickly after the law was passed, and that was part of the reason some of the companies didn't follow through.
In the fall, we had a very short time frame for people to kind of pull the information together to be able to find a location if they didn't already have one, that sort of thing. So some of the problems that we heard people express were really related to the very compressed timeline that they had to put an application together.
There are still a little more than 300 people who have gotten the cards needed to buy the cannabis oil products. Reister isn't concerned that that might keep another company from wanting to jump into the business.
And one of the things that I learned during my conversations with potential applicants last fall was that, you know, their experience in other states in doing this, and so they, you know, I think some of them in some ways would be betting on program expansion, and I think we heard that from MedFarm as well.
She says while the patient pool is small right now, they do anticipate it growing as the program gets underway and the products are available. Reister says if a second company is selected, they would face the same timeline as MedFarm. The new license is expected to be awarded July 1st, and that will put the deadline for the second manufacturer to be running on a July 1st of 2019. She says that company can begin making products as soon as it has the plant built and met all the requirements. MedFarm has the advantage of being the first to produce products for the five state-licensed dispensaries. Reister said the state understands the jumpstart MedFarm has right now on a new production company. Businesses have until May 16th to notify the state of their intent to apply for a medical marijuana license. Formal applications will be due by May 31st. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.